Oh, we're getting to that time of year, Kevin, where we just got to dig for interesting content. Summer League is officially over. People are giving me crap about talking too much about Kevin Durant. What else is there to talk about, folks? There just is not a lot going on. But with that said, there is some stuff to talk about Kevin Durant because apparently people are not understanding what should be a very clear point I'm trying to make. I'm going to explain that in just a moment. Kevin Dana joins me. He's going to break down how the Warriors did in Summer League. That's going to be the bulk of the show, is how the young talent of the Golden State Warriors did and what we can expect out of them when the season starts. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. You can follow the voice of the Santa Cruz Warriors, sometimes the Golden State Warriors, all sorts of summer league action. Kevin Dan is all over the place. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevo408. You can follow me, Cyrus Otsis, on Twitter at Dog Surf Roadshow. Need to get something very clear, folks, because I actually decided to delve into that nasty swamp that is the YouTube comment section the other day, and I'm getting a lot of hatred there. I do have feelings, folks, but whatever. I don't really care that much, but I do want to make one thing very clear here. I am not advocating for the Warriors to trade for Kevin Durant. I am simply reading the tea leaves. What does that mean? Number one, Joe Lacob a week and a half ago on Tim Kawakami's podcast made it very clear that the team is not going to be giving two more max contracts. Andrew Wiggins is going to want one. Jordan Poole is going to want one. Joe Lacob said, I don't see how that could happen. So I'm reading the tea leaves from that. That's number one, meaning Wiggins is an unrestricted free agent in a year. Jordan Poole could be a restricted free agent in a year. Do you want to lose one or both of them? That's why Kevin Durant makes some sense. This is a fact. Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant have spoken to each other about playing together again. Stephen Curry's not advocating for it in the same way I'm not advocating for it, but they have conversed. Steph is welcome to it. This is publicly reported. Kevin Durant is welcome to coming back to the Golden State Warriors. This has also been reported. It's also been reported that on multiple occasions, the Warriors have called the Brooklyn Nets and have had discussions about a potential trade for Kevin Durant. That's a fact. So when I look at those things, I also look at the fact that Joe Lacob retired the number of Kevin Durant, his number 35, unofficially because he still plays and they don't retire numbers of players who are not retired. But nonetheless, he has said publicly that Kevin, no one else will ever wear number 35 for the Golden State Warriors. He adores Kevin Durant. He loves Kevin Durant. I have heard from sources behind the scenes that Joe Lacob's white whale didn't use that allegory, but my point is that Joe Lacob loves Kevin Durant. He hated losing him. He wants him back. And when I see all those pieces of evidence put together, coupled with the fact that there are no other teams out there who have been reported to have had any legitimate discussions with the Brooklyn Nets, you look at the fact that the Golden State Warriors, even if they don't give up Moody or Kuminga, have the best package to trade with the Brooklyn Nets. You look at James Wiseman. He's going to make $12 million next year before the luxury tax penalties. That's a lot of money. We saw what they decided on with Gary Payton II. You see now that they care clearly about the money being spent on this payroll. I look at all these things. My buddy Larry Kruger mentioned he doesn't think there's a chance in hell. We spoke on the phone last night that Kevin Durant will actually play for the Brooklyn Nets this year if he stands firm on his request. He does not think Sean Marks will play the heavy hand and force him to be on the roster. That's what he says. But I've actually never seen a star player forced to play after making a trade request. I thought he made a great point. My point is this. I'm not advocating for it. I don't think that's the best move for the Warriors to give up a lot of important assets to reacquire Kevin Durant. What I am saying is that there is a very strong possibility of it based on the fact of conversations on the Warriors' pieces and assets they could offer, and the fact that the Warriors' owner, their managing partner, their governor, Joe Lacob loves Kevin Durant and would love him back on the team. Do not blame me. Do not hate on me for any of this. I'm just telling you what the actual evidence is there. And I do think the trade will happen largely because I don't think Lacob will want to see Wiggins and or Poole lost and get nothing back in return for him. Sign-and-trades are brutal because they give a hard cap on you. So I don't see Wiggins getting a sign-and-trade deal after next season if the Warriors are in a title hunt, because now you're hard-capped and you're put in a really bad position. And for Jordan Poole, if you decide you want to trade him after this year, there's no guarantees you'll get anything back. I mean, there's just no guarantees. So that is why I think Kevin Durant could, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I do think it could happen, and I'm not pushing for it. I rest my case. Kevin Dana, did I sound crazy saying any of that? And welcome, sir. Welcome back from Vegas. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. I mean, I don't really have much to add one way or another there. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I am probably on the Larry Kruger side where I don't think it's going to happen. But, I mean, this is the NBA and crazy stuff happens all the time.
So, well, Kruger didn't say it's not going to happen. What Kruger said is because one of the arguments
you're right.
Against the Durant trade happening is that, well, the Nets might just keep him. I mean, he is locked into a four-year deal. The Nets don't have to trade him. What Kruger was saying, though, is that he doesn't see Sean Marks letting it play out to the point where Durant is forced to play for a team he doesn't want to play for anymore. And so he thinks a trade will happen. I'm saying if it comes to that, I really think the Warriors are going to get him just because I don't see other teams out there offering better assets than Wiggins, Jordan Poole, and James Wiseman, which I think will be the pieces you'd have to give up salary-wise and otherwise, and for other reasons, because they actually have value and they're young, in order for the Nets to pull this trade off. I would like to see Seth Curry come back. The numbers would work out in that favor, and it would certainly lessen the blow of losing Jordan Poole, certainly, not age-wise, but at least in terms of offense. Defense is about the same. So that's where I stand, man. I'm not saying I want this. I am saying I wouldn't mind. I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world if you held on to Kuminga and Moody and you get Kevin Durant back, because as exciting as the future is, there's no guarantees in the future. With Kevin Durant, you're as close to a guarantee as possible of repeating as a world champion.
I'll say this. I agree with you in the fact that any scenario that includes a team getting Kevin Durant is not the worst thing in the world for said team that gets Kevin Durant. Like, he's really damn good. He's one of the best players in the NBA. And, you know, he's a two-time finals MVP. There's no doubt about that. And Larry is probably right in the fact that, I don't remember when a guy has requested a trade of his, like, stature in the league.
Yeah.
He's continued to play for the team. That's not coming to my mind right now. I'm sure there has been a case of that, but like in recent memory, when Anthony Davis requested a trade, he didn't play for the New Orleans Pelicans. And if I'm remembering the timeline correctly, he might have played like once or twice early, and then just like towards All-Star break or whatever it was when he requested a trade, he started to shut it down. I don't know one way or another.
Of course, no one does, except Joe Lacob, Bob Myers, Sean Marks. I mean, there's only a few people who actually truly know. But all I'm trying to say is that, like, I don't, again, it's weird to me because a year ago, I remember people were, like upset at me because I was critical of Durant leaving without giving a reason why. And Dub Nation was, like, just swearing by Durant. Well, he gave us those three amazing years. They won two championships with him. Amazing how opinions change in a year when now – with the possibility of Kevin Durant coming back, these same people are going, I don't want him back. I like the team. Forget him. It makes no damn sense whatsoever. So if you want to bitch and whine in the comment section, go ahead. But you're making no sense. I'm sitting here telling you what's going on. I'm not sitting here saying it's going to happen, but the likelihood is strong. Joe Lacob loves Kevin Durant. There's no disagreeing with that. There's no disputing that. And the Warriors have a chance to get him back without giving up the entire future. If they can keep Moody and Kuminga, I think that's a steal. I really do. You're losing like 7 years, 6 years between Wiggins and Durant. You're losing close to 10 years if you get Seth Curry back, and it's between Jordan Poole and Seth. James Wiseman is unproven. I guess when we come back, let's talk about James Wiseman, man. You've been in Las Vegas. You've been covering this team extensively. People are sick and tired of the Durant thing. I'm sorry to waste that whole first segment on that, but it's just I'm reading so many people just – like criticizing me for, because I'm just simply telling you what's going on. I'm not pushing for this damn thing. And yet I'm getting like negative energy toward me, man. And yeah, I'm gonna speak up against that. First, before we do anything else, we're gonna talk about one of our very longtime sponsors, and that is Bet Online. I mean, they've been sponsoring this program since I started hosting this thing, and what a sponsor they are. If you go to betonline.net, they're your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And betonline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. By the way, you're in Vegas, dude. Did you you can't bet on sports, but can you do poker? Can you do
I mean, I bet anything that's not like sports related. Because the whole call broadcast and call of sports throws like a real monkey wrench into stuff. If I just did like NBA and G League, I could bet on like college football, MLB, soccer, all that. Like, I guess during the summer when I'm technically not signed anywhere, like I did bet on like a European soccer game last year. But I mean, that was like, I wasn't under contract with any team. And so I was like, all right, this feels pretty safe. It's $20. Like I'm not max match fixing here.
That begs the question, Kevin, why are you betting on a random European soccer game?
friend's birthday. And we're like, you know what? My friend loves like European soccer. And so we all just like, you know, $20 on like this random like second division team or I think it might have been a Europa League game or something, just some random game. Like, my friend, like, all right, let's bet on this game or something like that. And for anyone watching, for any aggregators out there, because I know they really care what I have to say, me of 3,600 followers, but I was not under contract with anyone. It was not anything college. It was European soccer. And yeah. But like, no, I don't actually bet on sports. I do, however, lose money playing blackjack, craps, and roulette.
Who doesn't? And plus, and it's a crime, by the way. You only have 3,600 followers. I don't know why that's the case. You should have doubled my number easily. But yeah, that's a shame. But I'm happy you're having fun at the tables, man. Did you come home a winner? Did you at least break even?
I lost $754 on this trip. So wow, but it was like over five nights of gambling. And so, like, okay, it wasn't right. Terrible, you know. Like,
it averaged out to about 125 a night or something like that.
$1.50 But who's counting? Okay.
Yeah. Well, for those who do not call sporting events and are thus prevented from betting on sports, you can just go to betonline.net. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. Bet Online, it's where the game starts.
On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. Which NFL stars move the betting line the most starting July 18th? Actually, today, Locked On gives you the 50 most valuable players in the NFL from the odds makers at Bet Online. Available today on Locked On NFL, wherever you get your podcast, and on YouTube. You can follow Kevin Dana on Twitter at Kevo408. Give the man a follow. It's a damn crime that he only has 3,600 followers. You deserve at least 20K. Dude, you were covering the Warriors in Vegas. Some interesting action. The season is officially over. Let's start with James Wiseman, man, just because he's the one that I don't think he can give the most obvious answer to. By the way, is that bacon right there?
Yeah, he had serious separation anxiety. 11 days we
He doesn't want to leave my son. Bacon, what a good kitty. What's your thoughts on James Wiseman, man? Like, I know it was a small sample size. In the last two games he played in summer, he put up there weren't big numbers. He in one of the games he played 20 minutes, only scored. I mean, not only, he had 14 points, 7 rebounds, and I think in the finale. He put up 11 points, 6 rebounds in 18 minutes of play. I don't see much difference from his rookie campaign. Maybe smidge difference here and there. Give us the whole breakdown, please.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think we were going to see any real difference from his rookie campaign because, you know, he's played like 46 games now under the Warriors umbrella, and that's like a smidge more than a half of a full season. So I like, we weren't going to get anything revelatory. But I will say, if you're averaging 10.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, and 2 blocks in 20 minutes a game, that's like really productive. So, like, I mean, you know, you're per 36, which, all right, yeah, he's not playing 36 minutes. So I know some people don't like that, but like, he's essentially like, what is that, like 18 and you basically double what he's at, like 18, 10, 18, 11, 3 or 4 blocks a game. Like, all right, yeah, and then summer league. So he's not going to do that in the NBA next year. But I was fine with what I saw. Like, I wasn't expecting him to shatter any records or anything like that, because it's about like him just getting more game reps. And Jama Mahalalela said after the game yesterday that he thought it was the best that he's seen from Wiseman. I believe his quote was like just getting up and down the floor and moving on the court. And like the end of the second quarter was probably his best stretch that game. He went up for a lob, got fouled, hit a free throw, then like finished a dunk, had a dunk, blocked a shot at the other side of the floor on like this pretty athletic 6'10 dude, Isaiah Todd. So like that minute stretch was pretty good from him. He did struggle against this guy, Jaime Echenique, who's a 6'11 big, who like played really well in the G League last year, got in an NBA regular season game during the COVID, kind of all that stuff happening. First a Colombian-born player to ever play in the NBA. But, I mean, he's like just he's a hoss of a dude, like 6'11", 250. I mean, 258. I like that. Like kind of, yeah, like he's like he's built. You can't like toss that dude around. And so, like, it was the biggest dude I think James had gone against in summer league. And so he was met with quite a bit of resistance. When he was off the floor, he was able to do significantly better. But, you know, James was pretty much all smiles whenever he talked to the media, like just happy to be back out there. And the fact that he played 4 games, I do think is, you know, at least somewhat significant, because, you know, it was, you know, for a different reason to Memphis, he only played 3 games. And then, you know, right, with his knee issues this past year, he only played in 3 games with Santa Cruz. So he got to 4 in the span of, all right, so the first game was that he played in was July 10th. So in a span of 8 days, he played 4 games, July 10th to the 17th of the week, and he was able to get in 4 games and came out feeling fine that I know of. He was at least, you know, fine enough to play 20-ish minutes on Sunday, and I didn't hear anything kind of to the contrary afterwards from Jama Mahalalela. So, yeah, no, I think that's all positive for sure. And, you know, it's going to take some time still, because he's still like, I mean, he has like a rookie's worth of NBA regular season experience. Now, definitely, I think he's probably grown some. He's put on probably 18 pounds of muscle. I remember he was listed at 240. I read somewhere he's up to 258. And it's not like in and out weight. It's like whey protein weight and, you know, actual muscle weight. So, yeah, I mean, like, so, and you know, he learned definitely from, you know, the vets on that team, but like actual game reps, it's going to take a while still. And so I don't, you know, good thing Kevon Looney's there and, you know, he's re-signed and everything. And, you know, I am still very high on James Wiseman. I have been from the start, you know, just there are just moments where it's tantalizing, you know, the potential this guy has, and he showed it again. And some of that potential is still very much there from James Wiseman.
Yeah, and you're right. I think the fact that he played those 4 games was huge, because durability is clearly a question mark now. He passed that in flying colors. If anything, the one thing that I'm disappointed in with Wiseman so far is his shooting percentage. I'm seeing him miss a lot of close-range shots that maybe with more time and repetition do start going in. You know, but there's certain games he did fine. You know, his shooting percentage was high. Like, I'm looking at the stats of the last 2 games, for example. He shot 67% against OKC. But then against the Wizards in the final game, he went 5-for-13. And for big, those aren't numbers you want to see. By the way, why did Chet Holmgren, is that his last name? Why did he not play against Wiseman? I wanted to see that. I wanted Wiseman to bump him and make him fly into the second row of the bleachers. And instead, Chet sits out. Like, do you know what happened there? Like, why did he...
Yeah, so this happens every summer league. Like, the top picks, probably like top 10-ish or so, are a little more protected in how many games they play in summer league as opposed to everyone else. And by that point, Oklahoma City had played 6 games, because they had played 3 in Utah, And so, and this was going to be their seventh summer league game. And I think Chet had played five of the first six. And so, like, most teams play five summer league games. I'd say two-thirds of the league doesn't do an extra summer league. And the Warriors and Thunder were two of the teams that did. And so, like, he played five games. That's like a normal summer league stint. And, yeah, so Chet got to that number, and they said, we're going to shut him down. And, you know, that happens. I would like to see those guys play, but, you know, this is summer.
Same.
Like, you know, at the end of the day, who really cares?
Yeah.
Care because I'm there and I like watching basketball. But, like, you know, from a team perspective, they're not trying to, you know, beat the Golden State Warriors in mid-July. They're trying to beat them in late November. So
correct. How long were you in Vegas for?
11 nights, baby.
And you came back today. We're recording this on July 18th, Monday, as it is every Monday with Kevin Danna. He joins Locked On Warriors. I've never done more than two nights. It takes a lot of bravado to do 11 days. I can't believe you're even talking to me right now. So are you COVID free? How are you feeling from an 11-day stint in Las Vegas? That sounds crazy.
So here's the thing. Like, I mean, incredible that I don't feel any symptoms after 11 days. Whew. And, like, I mean, I wasn't just, like, going from the hotel to the gym and not talking to anybody. And, like, you know, I'm trying to connect with people out there, you know, after games and going to dinners. It's mostly indoor dining.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, going to, like, you know, a summer league party that the NBA, you know, threw for, like, media members, players, coaches, all that. You know, it's stuff you want to be at. They throw good events, and, like, you want to be there to connect with people and all that. And that's, like, half of summer league almost is, like, the networking and stuff. So, like, I'm doing as much networking as I can, as much broadcasting. You know, I was out till, like, 3 a.m. last night in Old Vegas playing blackjack. I was out, you know, I think I did three nights in Old Vegas actually this year, which is more than I usually do. And then I went to the Wynn a couple nights, and, you know, you're just trying to talk to people and, you know, make relationships happen in this business. And, like, so this wasn't like I wasn't in any sort of bubble. And, like, the fact that I got through my broadcast without feeling sick is incredible, because last time I went to Vegas, I got COVID. And so I was expecting the same with this BA5 surge going on, but I'm getting a PCR test tomorrow.
Just be safe.
Yeah. Just to be safe, because I'm going to Phoenix with my dad soon, and, you know, don't want to pass that along to him.
Absolutely. My mom has COVID right now, and she's on day five. I just got over it. For people who watch the show regularly, you know, I struggled with this thing for a few weeks, and then, like, I'm finally better. And then I'm like, look, mom, if I get it, I get it. Who cares? But this thing's going around, man. It's crazy. Yeah. So bravo, dude. I did a show earlier today. By the way, have fun in advance on your trip with your dad to Phoenix. I imagine golf. I imagine
This is baseball. So we're going.
There you go.
I think it's Chase Field is what it's called, where the Diamondbacks play. So yeah, across the stadium off the list.
Have fun, man. Good stuff, dude. I was hosting a show earlier today. I do another podcast called The Rick Barry Show, and Rick and I did a show. And one of the things I asked him, because he is fervently against a Kevin Durant trade. He likes the young core. He likes the pieces. He likes Wiseman. He doesn't even want to trade Wiseman. He likes the team the way it is. So they said, okay, fair.
Me too.
And me three. The only thing I don't like is that they gave up Gary Payton II. They gave up Otto Porter Jr. And when I say gave up, I do mean that. I think they could have kept him if they actually offered money, but that's another discussion for another day. But they did not replace him. And so I asked Rick, I'm like, Rick, you know, in all your years, man, I mean, this is somebody who's a former Hall of Famer, who's won a championship, finals MVP himself, who still observes the game closely, I respect his opinion tremendously. And I said, you know, based on your personal observation skills and your experience and your opinion, does the Warriors bench have enough for the team to repeat as a world champion? Because the bench is young. I think DiVincenzo is probably going to be one of the oldest players coming off the bench. The bench still is not completed. I think they have a minimum of two spots open right now still, which is kind of wild. In your opinion, Kevin, and by the way, just to finish up, he said no. He said the team still needs to get veterans, that he would not enter this season defending a world championship with a completely unproven bench, which is what the Warriors have right now. You can maybe not me. I mean, with the exception of Jordan Poole, DiVincenzo, but even then, they're still young. I mean, they weren't. It's not like they were like the stars of teams that won championships. They were on the team. They played their part. So my question to you is similar. You know, we've been watching Jonathan Kuminga now in his last game. He put up, I think, 16 points against the Thunder. With the exception of that first game, he actually had a solid summer league, I thought. Moses Moody was very impressive. I am falling in love with that man. Man crush in Central here. What are your thoughts on this bench, man? Let's say the Warriors just don't get anyone else. Let's say this is the team. Patrick Baldwin Jr., as unproven as he is part of the roster. Ryan Rollins, who we never saw in summer league, is part of the roster. Is this enough in your opinion? And what are your thoughts in general, just based on your experience in Vegas with Moody and Kuminga?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think this team is still going to be very damn competitive and in the mix for a championship. Like, I hate to go against Rick Barry, but I mean, like, you return your starting five and your bench is, you know, Jordan Poole, who had monster moments in the NBA Finals.
Yes, he did.
You know, Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga, who are going to be – Moses is 20, Jonathan's 20, so very young. Moses, though, did have good moments against the Dallas Mavericks in the Western Conference Finals, and
yes, he did.
It didn't look great for Kuminga when he started against the Grizzlies, but he does have playoff starts. I think he started three playoff games.
He did, and he's 19 still, by the way, dude.
October is when he turns 20. And then, you know, James Wiseman, which we've talked about, all right, if he's your ninth man, like, that's pretty damn good. And Dante DiVincenzo, even though he got hurt in the first round of that title-winning season for Milwaukee, he was a starter on a championship-winning team, you know, True. Through the regular season. Team that, you know, and they didn't, like, kind of, like, just get hot at the end of the season. They were a three seed. So, like, they were one, you know, they were top 20% in the Eastern Conference. Yeah, he was a starter on a championship-winning team. Like, he doesn't have the experience of Steph, Clay, or Dre, obviously, not close to that. And nor does he have the experience of Andrew Wiggins even, because he was hurt as far as making deep playoff runs. But he knows what it's like to contribute to teams that contend, and I don't think that's nothing. Then, I mean, obviously, yeah, you have the rookies, Baldwin and Rollins, and yeah, I don't think you'd expect much from them this coming season. And you still have a couple of spots that you can sign guys with, right? And so I think maybe those are the spots you lean veteran with. They get someone in their late 20s, early 30s, something mid-30s even, something like that. We'll see. I don't know, like, how much the Durant – see what Kevin Durant does, how much more this is going to hold up kind of the rest of these signings, because it has kind of, you know, dried up and there's still – you know, guys that are out there to be had. So we'll see. I mean, this could very well, like, play deep into the offseason here. But, the Warriors, like, factually have to sign more players. This isn't, like, their final roster. Like, you have to have at least 14 guys on a roster. So, like, the roster is not complete.
Right. And it is weird.
But with what they have, and then you're going to only make it stronger. Yeah, I think this team is going to be in the running for an NBA championship.
There you go. And in all honesty, I think that is yet another reason why the KD trade thing. My spider senses are tingling with this. And another one is the fact that they haven't filled those roster spots yet. It makes me wonder if they're holding off until the KD thing is more conclusive. Because otherwise, what are you waiting for? You know what I'm saying? Like, why are you just sitting there? Like, are you waiting for players you want to answer you back? I don't like what would be your theory, if you can answer this, on why those two roster spots are just sitting there open if it's not because the KD trade is being formulated right now?
Well, I do think, I mean, this is one guess, that, like, some of these guys who are unsigned want to see what happens with Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. And so maybe they're holding off and stuff. But hold on. Your theoretical trade that you said what? It was your theoretical trade. So I am not proposing this, people.
Me.
You said Wiseman, Poole, and Wiggins. Is that who you said?
For plus two or three firsts.
Okay. So then the Warriors would – I'm sorry. So the Warriors would be minus two in players then, right?
One, like, because you would get Kevin Durant back and Seth Curry.
All right. So then,
just to finish up real quick, yeah. just because then you have three openings at that point.
Yeah.
But then, like I've said before, and people were upset at me that, like, because I said Kevin Durant recruits free agents easier than Stephen Curry. That's not a slight on Stephen Curry, but if you look at the track history of those two players, Durant seems to get players to join him at a much higher frequency. And I'm referring to free agent veterans who are taking less money than they can get elsewhere. Okay, that's the line of reasoning here, right? Players give up money to play for LeBron and Durant much more so than Steph. I don't know the why of that.
Are we sure on that? Like, I mean, DeMarcus Cousins, I know he was rehabbing an Achilles. Otto Porter Jr. took less money.
Durant was there. But Durant was on that team. Money. Durant was on that team too, though. Okay, so look at the Warriors.
Not for Otto Porter and DiVincenzo.
Okay, those two. Okay, well, those two, yes. But then look how many players passed them up. Like, whether it was Nicholas Batum, Patty Mills, Goran Dragic. And if I decide to do the research on this, what's his name that I used to get in a lot of fights about with people? Paul Millsap, who the Warriors reportedly did want last year, and he turned them down. My point, there's a lot. I guess what I'm trying to say is there are a lot more situations where the Warriors pursue free agents and get rejected. Whereas I don't know if they're getting those rejections when you have a KD or LeBron on your team. And again, I don't know the why of that. I don't know the why of that. You're right. With Steph, they've recruited free agents as well. Andre Iguodala came here, Livingston. I mean, there's clearly a lot of them. I mean, he's not like some sort of poison pill. I'm not saying that. But Durant, just for some reason, Durant and LeBron recruit free agents very easily for veteran minimum contracts. Like, even Kent Bazemore bailed on Steph last year to join LeBron. That made no sense whatsoever. Like, I don't know why the hell he did that. I'm guessing he could have come back. There were mixed reports. I heard one report from Shams Charania where Kent Bazemore, was offered more money, more years, but chose the Lakers. But then I've heard from my sources behind the scenes that that's a BS report. That's not really true. So I don't know what to believe anymore with Shams, at least, and his reporting. But what I'm trying to say is that if we did a report, if I actually did the research, maybe I'm going to have to do this because I'm sure after people watching this show, they're going to question this again. My point is that if you look at the track record and the history of LeBron, KD, and Steph, and the number of free agents who have flocked to these players' teams versus the number of free agents who have rejected overtures from those players' teams, Steph does not compare. And I don't know the why of that. But if you get Kevin Durant to come to the Warriors, something tells me you can fill those other three spots very easily with high caliber players who are going to take veteran minimum contracts. David West is another one. Like, David West rejected the Warriors when they didn't have Durant. When Durant shows up, now he's like, okay, I'll come to your team. It's just, there's a lot of examples like that. It builds up. If I'm mistaken, Kevin, come at me, please.
Obviously, Kevin Durant contributes to championships. I think what the examples that we've given here is, like, going into last season, the Nets and Lakers were the clear-cut front runners in the minds of everyone besides Cyrus Sotsis to play for the NBA championship. And so that's why those players went there, right? Like, the Brooklyn Nets last year were like, a Kevin Durant shoe away from beating the NBA champions. And so, like,
that's
Brooklyn
true.
Looked to be, like, by far and away the best team in the Eastern Conference. I think some people thought, Milwaukee could make a run, could run it back and stuff. And, they could have if Chris Middleton didn't get hurt. And then, like, the Lakers on the other end, people were like, all right, well, that was just kind of a fluky season. Now they're getting Russell Westbrook, who, revisionist history now, but, like, the last 30 games with the Washington Wizards, the guy was a monster. Like, he figured it out with Washington.
Yes, he did.
Excuse me. It's not a COVID Vegas, cough.
Baby.
I just actually,
Vegas, baby.
but, like, he really figured it out at the end of the season with Washington. And, it was a really bad Russell Westbrook season, but it was still, like, 18-7-7, which – for everyone else besides Russell Westbrook, that's pretty damn good.
True.
So, like, you add Russell Westbrook, and people are like, all right, well, if, the Lakers and the Nets, they're two high markets, big market teams, and they look like they're going to play for an NBA championship, that's where guys are going to go. So
yeah,
I'd say that's why, and obviously Kevin Durant and LeBron James play a huge part in that. But I do think, like, it wasn't just, oh, I want to play with LeBron and KD. It was like, I want to play for a championship. And the Golden State Warriors were coming off a year in which they did not make the playoffs for the second straight year. And it's like, I don't know the last time a team has missed the playoffs multiple years in a row and then won a championship the next year. So
that's true. Yeah, that's fair.
So, that's what I would say to that.
All right, that sounds good. No, those are very valid points. But again, I would you disagree that if the Warriors did this hypothetical trade that it would be easier for them to recruit free agents versus now without Kevin Durant?
I don't know one way or another. I mean, the Warriors are defending champions, so I think that carries some cachet.
But again, so then that begs a question. Like, are the Warriors just simply not pursuing any free agents? Or is it – are the free agents they want – holding off for some weird reason?
Because I can't answer that.
That's the weird part. Yeah, I know. No one can. No one can. Unless Bob Myers comes on the show. I'm so tempted to just call that man and say, just come on here. But I got to go through Raymond Ritter. And he's never going to come on here because I'm guessing they've heard me criticize him a million times. But I would love Bob Myers to come on here and just have a straight conversation. Maybe I should just reach out to Raymond. Maybe I should just be like, hey, Raymond, I do have his number. Can I just call him? Can I ask him to come on? Would that be a bad idea, Kevin? What do you think?
I don't know. Because we're in different spots, right? Like, you are true. Independent. I am
true. That is true. Maybe I will, man. I need Bob Myers in the show. I need just half an hour of that man's time to pick his brain. There's so much I need to know. Have we covered everything? What's left? I feel like we're missing something here.
You wanted my opinion on Moses and Moody sound like Kendrick Perkins.
No, thank you for bringing that up.
And Kuminga.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then there's also that weird player from 3 years ago. But go ahead. Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll get to that. So Moody, they loved. They wanted to see him. You know, he's a catch-and-shoot guy at this stage in his career in the NBA. In summer league against not all NBA players, they wanted to see him be really aggressive and, you know, take it to the hole, take guys off the dribble. And in his first game, he got up 17 free throw attempts. So that tells you the guy was just attacking relentlessly. And it, you know, he actually, you know, he was asked post game in that first loss against the Knicks, who they, you know, eventually summer league runners up, the New York Knicks. He was asked if he had ever attempted more free throws in a game. He said he actually got up 18 in a game at Arkansas and 16 in another game at Arkansas, which it's like, whoa, okay. I didn't watch Arkansas all the time. Like I watch other teams, but
Arkansas, yeah.
Yeah, so that was really nice to see. He wasn't as efficient in his second game, but again, he got up 8 free throw attempts. So in 2 games, he attempted 25 free throws and hit 22 of them. So 88% from the line on a very nice sample size for 2 games. I was really impressed with him, and he took a hard fall at the end of game 2. Going hard to the hole, and so I'm sure that's why they didn't want to risk it anymore. Like he stayed in the game. Like they were really pleased with Moses Moody. With respect to Jonathan Kuminga, Jama Mahalala was really impressed with how tight his handle was, and the thing he said, like, they wanted him to run point, basically they wanted him to handle the ball, operate out pick and roll, do that kind of stuff. So the handle was tight, and I agree with that assessment. I was like, all right, this guy's pounding the rock pretty well. And Jama said after the game that he's seen the pass that he needs to make. Whether he makes it is a different question. It's stuff that he's seen on film right now, and that's where, like, the film study comes in. So, like, that progression still needs to happen. But again, I think when we're talking about the all-star potential of Jonathan Kuminga, which I think a lot of people see, we're thinking about a guy who at 24, right? And so the guy at 20 probably isn't even the number three ball handler on the team. And so this was about getting him those reps that he's not going to get. And so, yeah, like, there were games that looked ugly. There were possessions or, like, it looks like he just has his head down and is looking for his. And that will come. But they did see what they wanted to see out of, you know, Kuminga from his handle's pretty good. He sees the passes. Now he's got to make the passes. And so that'll be a development point, I imagine, with Jonathan moving forward.
I absolutely am in love with Moses Moody. I'm Jonathan Kuminga just seems still a little more raw. I just think in terms of NBA readiness, Moody's ahead of the curve right now, but Kuminga could also come back. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Repeat that question one more time.
Yeah, that Moody is just more NBA ready, but Kuminga is just right behind him and could surpass him at some point. But right now, Moody just looks like the more clear-cut NBA-ready player. Like I feel like he could stand in there and actually contribute real minutes, whereas Kuminga probably could too, but you're going to get more mistakes from him.
Yeah.
I just don't see him being quite there yet.
I agree with that, largely because Moody's played more organized basketball in the United States than Jonathan Kuminga has, right? Jonathan came over at the age of 13, and so I'm sure it wasn't the first time he picked up a basketball when he got here, because he was watching, you know, Kobe highlights in internet cafes in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. But like, he wasn't getting the coaching that Moses Moody got at a much earlier age, I would imagine. I don't know exactly what grassroots. I know like they are improving and they are like building an infrastructure of like youth basketball through like NBA programs in the African continent. But I can't say like I know like exactly what kind of teaching that he was getting, like with respect to like what Moses certainly was getting playing here in Little Rock. So I would say that gives Moses the edge, and that's why like he kind of has one reason why he has kind of that high basketball IQ, that acumen that he already has at such a young age.
Are you as excited as I am about the fact that they're going to have to play these youngsters? So we're going to be seeing like 25, 30 minutes potentially a night from them. I love that idea, because we're going to be seeing their growth right before our eyes. The only way this is not going to be cool is if they're playing these 25, 30 minutes and you don't see progress, if you see regression. Like that's panic button type stuff right there if that happens. And that's honestly the only reason why I don't like this plan right now. That's the only reason, is because there are no guarantees any of these guys are going to be delivering. We don't know yet. They're improving. I know chances are they will, but until we see it, we don't know. But I don't know. You're confident, huh? You feeling good about these kids?
Yeah, I am confident, and I do think that they're not completely unproven. None of them, even James Wiseman. Like I do think he showed something his rookie year, like in something that made you go like, wow, this guy could be really, really good.
That's fair.
And I think I saw like this guy could be really, really good from all three of those dudes. And then you had Jordan Poole, who has already shown us, all right, this guy is really, really good.
True.
And he's only 23 years old. And so like this second timeline, I think is pretty proven for like as proven as they can be. You know, with the exception of a guy in Wiseman who missed a complete season. Basically did not play any NBA regular season games this last year. But I saw in his rookie year, while like the advanced numbers were not good, the like actual numbers were pretty good. Like, I don't mean the actual numbers, but like kind of the raw, you know, points per game, rebounds per game.
Those are actual numbers to me. I mean, yeah, so like, I would go with that.
like they were like really good for a guy who had his growth stunted by the NCAA. So, I liked it. And now he's got his college roommate on his team, Lester Quiñones. So.
There you go. Yeah. And honestly, man, I mean, he put up nearly 12 points a game. He had close to 6 rebounds a game. Those are no numbers to scoff at for a rookie. Yeah. And even his three, like he has a nice shooting stroke too. I can see him like putting up 35% from beyond the arc. I could see those types of numbers from him. And you know, look, I'm hoping for the best, man. And one last time, just to reiterate to all the haters out there. This is the KD trade is not what I want. It's just based on what Lacob said, especially about those two max contracts that he does not want to give out. It gives me a lot of pause, because if you're not going to give two max contracts, I would prefer, I guess, Durant versus having just Jordan Poole a year from now or just Wiggins a year from now. Like, yeah, I would prefer Kevin Durant in that scenario. If Lacob came out and said, yeah, we're going to try to keep both of them long term. Yeah, I would have such different sentiments, but the fact that he said that, it just made me really wonder about a lot of things. And coupled with the fact that Lacob just loves KD and is enamored with the idea of having Kevin Durant retire with the Golden State Warriors, I'm just telling people, don't be surprised by this. In my perfect world, you run it right back. But that world is shattered, man. They lost their entire veteran bench. So I want veterans. I hope DeMarcus Cousins is under consideration. Rodney Hood looks pretty good. I don't know if there's anybody out there you've seen that looks pretty good as well. That sticks out to you. Carmelo Anthony, I don't think would be a bad idea either. I mean, I know defensively he's awful, but he is 6'8", 250, can score the ball still with ease. Rick Barry didn't like that he's older, so that he might be a liability defensively, but when we had our show. But, you know, I do need to see some free agents signed. Like, if Patrick Beverley is a buyout candidate for the Warriors, I wouldn't mind that. That would definitely stomach losing GP2 a lot better and easier. But, you know, like, what I wanted was shattered. They did not bring back Gary Payne II. That was really the one guy I thought more than anything else that they should have brought back. And Otto Porter Jr. And they didn't replace Bielitsa. That's where I think someone like DeMarcus Cousins would be a great replacement. I mean, they're very similar in their styles. Cousins can shoot the three. Do not forget what he did to the Warriors in that opening round series playing for the Nuggets. It's just, it just makes me nervous, man, to have a bench this young when you're trying to defend a world championship. These stakes are crazy high. And I don't know. Just the thing that makes most sense to me is that this is all being set up for a KD trade, but I could be wrong. I'm not guaranteeing it. Anything else, man? Are we done? Are we good?
You want to talk about...
Oh, no, there's one more thing.
Yeah.
There's one more thing. There is a Twitter account called @NBAMemes, and this is going to be an extra treat for those who are watching on the YouTube show, because they posted this picture, and it is really funny. And I never heard of this dude in my life. Apparently, he's from China. And Kevin, as someone who has called a lot of games and have you been introduced to a lot of interesting names. Hell, my name is one of the craziest things out there, but this is a whole other level. How do you pronounce this, first of all, Kevin Dana?
All right, so if I remember correctly, A, he goes by Slam. I remember, so I know this guy. Okay. He was on the 20. You mean, Cyrus, you didn't religiously watch the 2018 Golden State Warriors in Summer League action? Shame on you. No, I'm just kidding. Just messing with you. Abdu Shalamu. Abadirexity is how I remember learning the name. Abdu Shalamu. Abadirexity is how I remember.
Abdu Shalamu. Abadirexity. Yeah.
Abadirexity.
Even like the Warriors' new assistant coach has Jama Malalela, right? Is that how you pronounce it?
So technically, yeah, that's like the North. And I saw someone give a tutorial on Twitter and how to say his last name. Technically, his last name, is like Jama Mahlalela.
Mahlalela.
That's like the best.
All right. So that Mach, you got to get that little Mahlalela like that.
Yeah. Because like he's from Swaziland, and like the Swaziland, or like, he's half Swazi. And so like I think that's where like the Mahla comes from. It's like,
oh, I love it. You're making me look good, dude. Like, if I ever meet him, I'm going to immediately say that. I'm going to go, Mr. Mahlalela, nice to meet you. And I bet you he's going to be impressed.
Now that I know, I try to say that on the air, like I've been doing in Summer League, but like in the flow of a radio broadcast, I'm not to the point where I can like say it quick. I can't say like, led by head coach Jama Mahlalela. Like I kind of do it there, but like in the flow,
man.
So that I got to work on that. But yeah, Abdu Shalamu Abadirexity. I think it's Abdu Shalamu, not Abdu Shalamu. I'm pretty sure the emphasis is on the Shah.
Player on the Warriors Summer League roster in 2018.
Yeah. And so here's some info on him. He's played the last year with the last 7 years with the Xinjiang Flying Tigers.
Interesting.
He learned English by watching Game of Thrones and listening to Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole. He began playing basketball at 16. So in 2018, he was 22 years old. So he's still like at the beginning of his learning curve. He was the CBA, Chinese Basketball Association, not Continental Basketball Association, former American Minor League. He was the CBA most improved player that next season after he played Summer League with Golden State. The next year, he played Summer League with Chicago and started all five games for them. And then he's just kind of been in China since. So he is, I think, 26 years old right now, and he's just coming off a 23-point kind of 8-rebound per game season, which is like, usually it's the Americans in that league that put up the monster numbers for like a player native to China to be putting up numbers in the CBA like that. Like, he's got some skill. I don't remember a damn thing about his game, I'll be honest. It's been 4 years since I've seen him play. And I can't remember too much one way or another, but like the way his stats are tracking are pretty good.
Jama Mahlalela. It's like some Middle Eastern stuff right there, man. When you start doing the like in your names and voice. Although you said he's at technically Africa, is that what it was?
Yeah, Swaziland. Okay. Swaziland. So I mean it's like you're pressing your tongue against like the back of your teeth, I think, or like the roof of your mouth.
It's so hard to flow like that, though, dude. I hear you.
He pronounced it for me once and like said I was doing a decent approximation of it.
Okay, all right. That's good.
So
I'll take that as a compliment.
I should
aim for him and just have a whole show about. So is it Mahlalela? No, it's Mahlalela.
I think so. I mean, I don't know like the difference between like Middle Eastern and Swazi pronunciations. So maybe I kind of lean more Middle Eastern. I don't know in the first way I said, but Mahlalela.
Mahlalela. Interesting. Yeah, I wonder if Kirk calls him. Probably Jama.
Yeah. and it's either Jama or Jama. He says his mom calls him one name and his dad calls him the other. So
that is weird. That is weird. The two parents each pronounce it differently. So I guess you can't go wrong. So that's good.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Do you go Jama or Jama?
So like when he came up through Raptors 905, I learned it as Jama. And so like I've just kind of trended with Jama. I called like games he coached back in 2018. I'm going way off the deep end here. But I want to say like Middle Eastern verse, like what Mahlalele is, like when you – like I want to say like when you make that emphasis with like a Middle Eastern name, it's more in the throat. Like
yes, like that's what I'm doing right now.
I'm gonna take my friend's name, Muhammad Al, like Americans will say Muhammad Al Momin, and this is the first time he's ever been mentioned in a podcast. I'll clip this off and send it to him and he'll feel like a superstar. Actually, he's like a hot shot, like a investment banker in Dubai.
Okay
Or like that, and that's probably like you know, something of like that sort. He would say like Muhammad Al Mahmin. And so like it's like more in the throat, whereas like Mahlalela is more like more in the tongue.
Yeah, I can't do
so tongue. Anyways. I'm probably not doing a great, and we have spent like 7 minutes talking about Jama Mahlalela's pronunciation of his name.
Talk about this is late July NBA coverage for you right there.
But like I think that's like the best way I can say it, and like maybe the first time I said it like came more from the throat than it came from the tongue.
Mahlalela. Yeah,
that's just trying to explain myself here.
There you go. That's one of the two new, that's the new Warriors assistant head coach. He's directly behind Kenny Atkinson in the depth chart.
Great dude, by the way. Jama's awesome. And
that's what I've heard. I've heard great things.
He's gonna be a head coach one of these days for sure.
Good stuff. Good stuff, man. Welcome back. I'm glad you survived. I hope
we'll find out if I've actually survived tomorrow when I get my PCR test. To be determined.
All right, brother. Always a pleasure. Kevin Dana. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevo408. You can follow me, Cyrus Otzes, on Twitter at DogSurfRoadShow, and this program on Twitter at LockedOnDubs. Did I mention that I really want the Kevin Durant trade? That I'm fighting for it? That I'm advocating? I'm kidding. All right, folks. Everyone, we're done. We're out. I need dinner. Thanks, Kevin. Later, everyone.
Peace.